Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Echo e-learning page. Don't forget that Echo membership would provide you with unlimited access to a whole range of other educational courses, as well as the entire content of the Echo e-library. Please check this out at www.echo-ibd.eu.
I am Konstantinos Katsanos from Ioannina, Greece. I'm gastroenterologist and member of Echo Educational Committee. Although frequently thought of as last resort surgery for both Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, can be an integral part of therapy. In some cases, an operation is needed on an urgent or emergency basis. In these circumstances, the removal of bowel or correction of other problems related to IBD is needed in order to quickly restore the health of the patient. In other cases, an operation is used to supplement the medical treatments that are available. Surgery is the best used in conjunction with medical therapy, and in selected cases, surgery may be used early in the course of the disease. Overall, a large proportion of patients with IBD will require some type of surgical procedure during the course of their illness. Regarding the surgical indications for ulcerative colitis, we can consider emergent or urgent operations, including those for uncontrollable bleeding, unresponsive to medical therapy, bowel perforation, bowel obstruction, toxic megacolon, and cancer. The elective ones include those who are for unresponsive to medical therapy disease. The types of surgical procedures for ulcerative colitis include, first, proctocolectomy with endileostomy. This involves removal of the large bowel with the end of the small bowel coming out into a bag on the abdomen. This opening of the intestine through the skin surface is called an ostomy. Second, total colectomy with ileal pouch channel anastomosis. This surgery involves removal of the large bowel with creation of a pouch, reservoir, out of the small bowel, which is connected to the anus. The creation of the pouch allows for reduced frequency of bowel movements after the operation. This is the preferred surgery for ulcerative colitis when possible. Third, total colectomy with ileorectal anastomosis. This involves removal of the large intestine with a straight connection between the end of the small bowel and the anus without creation of a pouch. Without the creation of the pouch, there tends to be more frequent bowel movements for the first 6 to 12 months after the operation. The indications for surgery in Crohn's disease include emergent or urgent operations for uncontrollable bleeding, obstruction, perforation, abscess or fistula, and the elective ones: failure of medical therapy, stricture, and perianal disease. The types of surgical procedure for Crohn's disease include, first, stricturoplasty, which involves cutting the surface of the bowel over the stricture, then sewing the bowel wall together perpendicular to the direction of the incision. This widens the caliber of the bowel to allow easier passage of bowel contents, although it does shorten the bowel slightly. Second, limited bowel resection, removal of a diseased segment of the bowel. This generally involves removal of as little bowel as possible, but enough to alleviate the complications that the diseased segment of bowel was causing. Third, a bowel diversion with ostomy, which is a procedure that involves diverting the flow of stool through the bowel by cutting the intestine at a level above the severely diseased bowel and bringing it to the skin surface through an ostomy. Stool then drains into a bag attached to the skin by adhesives rather than through the anus. This operation can allow severely diseased region of bowel to heal, can be temporary or permanent. 4. Patients with Crohn's disease may also need operations to drain collections of pus inside the abdomen, abscess, or to help treat abnormal collections such as fistulas between the bowel and other locations such as other bowel, bladder, vagina, or skin. These conditions can be especially problematic in the area around the anus, the perianal disease. The perioperative medical management in IBD involves the following steps. Aminosalicylates, such as sulfasalazine and mesalamine, should be discontinued one day before surgery, with resumption 3 days after surgery, especially in patients with susceptibility for decreased glomerular filtration. For patients receiving glucocorticoids, the most relevant issue is to ensure adequate success of corticosteroid supplementation if required. Purine analogs, such as 6-mercaptopurine or azathioprine, should be withheld on the day of surgery and resumed in the first 3 postoperative days when oral medications are resumed if renal function remains normal. Cyclosporine should be continued in the preoperative and immediate postoperative period, given the existing evidence. Methotrexate should be discontinued 1 week before surgery until at least 1 week after surgery in patients with a history of infection complications and resumed after successful wound healing. Immunomodulator therapy with antitumor necrosis factor agents should be continued in the perioperative setting. Patients receiving 5 mg or less of prednisone each day, alternate daily corticosteroids, or any dose of glucocorticosteroids for less than 3 weeks are not considered to have a suppressed hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis and do not require stress dose glucocorticoids. In contrast, patients receiving less than 20 mg per day of prednisone or its equivalent for more than 3 weeks or with features of Cushing syndrome should be assumed to have a suppressed hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis and considered for stress dose of glucocorticoid supplementation perioperatively. For patients receiving between 5 and 10 mg of prednisone or its equivalent for more than 3 weeks, a clinical prediction rule cannot be implemented because, in this subset of patients, the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis may or may not be suppressed. Generally speaking, rather than subjecting these patients to a corticotropine stimulation test, which may not reliably predict hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis suppression, it may be prudent to provide glucocorticoid supplementation in these patients. Regarding perioperative medication and thromboembolic events in IBD, it is generally recommended that a standard prophylaxis in those patients is acceptable to reduce the occurrence of thrombotic events in the perioperative period. Regarding risks which are associated with perioperative use of antitumor necrosis factor, we can state that patients who are taking antitumor necrosis factor agents are immunosuppressed and more prone to develop infections. Therefore, the principal risks after surgery in patients who are or anti-TNF agents are infections risks, especially the risk of intra-abdominal abscess. To conclude, optimal preparation for surgery in IBD includes psychological support of the patient, radiological imaging, abdominal abscess management, nutritional support, thromboembolic prophylaxis, and immunosuppression in the perioperative setting. The preparation for surgery requires close interaction between surgeons, gastroenterologists, radiologists, psychologists, and the patient. Correct preoperative planning of surgical treatment has a major impact on the outcome of such treatment. Thank you.